From the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 24. I'll bet you didn't know where this verse was located in the Bible, but I'll bet you've heard it, said it, read it, and remembered it for quite some time. This is the day which the Lord has made. And you could say the rest of it with me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So you know that. You can quote the Bible as well as anybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, as is every day. Let us find a way to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what it may bring or not bring. I have an old friend who many years ago made a conscious decision that for one solid year he would watch the sunrise every single morning, keep track of when that was going to happen, wake up, and pay attention to what the sun looked like at daybreak and ponder what the day might bring. I asked him why in the world he wanted to do this. He said, I think I might learn something. Well, what do you think you might learn? I have no idea, but I'm going to find out. And I presume he did it. I never checked back with him to find out what he learned, but I'm struck by the idea that if you paid attention specifically to the start of each new day, who knows what you might learn. What I suspect you would learn as the year moved forward is that, first of all, every sunrise is a little bit different. The sky looks a little bit different every morning. Its color, the level of cloudiness. There'll be some days you won't actually see the sun at all. You'll simply see the brightening of the cloud cover in the east. And some days it would be a blazing orange-red inferno coming up over whatever it is that was your eastern horizon, be it Cap Rock or mountain or ocean or simply the apartment complex next door. But what I suspect it would do is it would heighten the awareness of what the psalmist has told us years ago and what we all know by heart but don't think about very much, is that this is the beginning of another of God's days given for us, unlike any other before and unlike any other will be. And it contains within it the possibility for blessings and sorrows, thunderclouds and rainbows. And it behooves us, if nothing else, both the exercise of watching the sunrise and the pondering of this Bible verse, is to simply pay attention that this is a day unlike any other that's ever been and that ever will be. Chronicle it with your own age. We can all figure out how many years, months, and days we've had, and that this is the next one, and that tomorrow will be different. Now, I have to tell you that most of the time I don't think about this, and I suspect most of us don't either, and that one day is a lot like the next, you know, given some rather narrow parameters of variation in what we do. But that's only because we don't think about it very often. I think that it would behoove us to pay attention to what the blessings of the day really are. And I'm not talking about, you know, the day we get a new job or the day we meet the one who becomes our lifelong love or the day we hit the lottery or whatever it is in the way of extraordinary things that have happened to us or that we hope will happen. Just the ordinariness of every day brings, well, at least the glimmer of a rainbow. Lady Bird Johnson, bless her heart, found uncountable joy in a blue bonnet or an Indian paintbrush that all of us are well aware of, largely take for granted, and we're able to take for granted in part because her love of wildflowers generated the process that, well, has them all over the place. You know, one of the things that you'll see on your way to Fredericksburg are part of what she's left us, just because she found in a day at one point in her life, paid attention to the beauty and understood the value of a blue bonnet. You've been in the store, the grocery store, the Walmart or someplace like that, and in the process of doing the ordinary day-by-dayness of what that activity brings, a child in a cart will catch your eye and maybe kind of tilt its head a little bit, and you have the chance to do something really silly, make a funny face or smile or wave, and for just a moment there's a connection with a child that you never saw before, will never see again, and I bet you smiled when that happened, didn't you? I had to go to the cable company this last week. Most of the stuff you deal with when you deal with the cable company, you can do online or over the phone, and there's a good reason for that, because going to the cable company is no fun. I got there and they have 4 or 5 desks of customer service places, but only 2 were occupied. That's because most of us do most of that online or on the phone. And there were 10 or 12 people ahead of me. And I'm thinking, if each one of these people has a 5-minute encounter with the 2 people that are doing this, I'm going to be here for close to an hour. And I didn't have close to an hour, but I sucked it up, said, okay, that's what this day will bring. And in the course of waiting, you know, people are jostling around, and I don't even remember what started it or even what the line was, but the guy behind me kind of nudged me and cracked a joke, and I laughed. And that's what I remember about it. I don't even remember what the joke was about, some silly thing. But it was something in the day that made a difficult part of the day, which on the scale of difficulty is not all that bad, a little bit more pleasant, a rainbow of the day. You know, it's the accumulation of these moments that become like a kind of emotional bank account because this is the day the Lord hath made, and we have no reason not to at least mostly rejoice and be glad in it, but we don't know what the day will bring, and we have had days and we will have days in the future where the day will bring us devastating news or an event or a circumstance that we can't see coming, a diagnosis, an accident, a phone call from someone we care about that, well, who knows what all. We've had those days. We've had days where all we can remember about it was the horrible grief we felt over a loss that we never thought we could live through, and we had to. It's the bluebonnet days. It's the smiling kid in the Walmart day. It's the joke in the long line at the cable company stuff that accumulates and gives us the strength to cope with, the one nuclear bomb can ruin your whole day kind of day, if you know what I mean. When I was training to do this job and in pastoral care class, we were taught that as young people, we hadn't experienced much grief, probably, or at least much grief of great depth, the kind that as the years go by, we do experience the inevitable decline and ultimate loss of our parents. On the other hand, the unexpected intrusion of the horror of the loss of a child or the unexpected death of a spouse. These are the kinds of things that people who learn pastoral care are told that you'll have to be a part of the caregiving team when this happens. How do you address it? Well, you learn from the small bits of grief and stress that you have experienced because it's the same process. There's nothing anyone can do to change what has occurred in the life of someone with whom you are sharing the moment or offering care, except empathy and a listening ear, and an understanding that this grief is pretty well universal and that it wouldn't be as deeply felt if it were not for the love that went on before. I mean, it's as simple and mundane as knowing at the outset when you decide to adopt a cat that it's going to end badly, that when you decide to marry someone, it's going to end badly for one of you. You know, that till death us do part thing means that that's probably going to happen. And it's going to be horrible. And it's also going to be worth it. Because if there were no grief, there would have been no love. And each day brings us the opportunity to remember that this day is a chance to share the level of love and grace that comes to us through the God who created us. It also, I think, paying attention to the sunrise gives us a chance to get away from a sense of complacency, because there really is no other day like this and there never will be another. Maybe you were aware this week that the ESPN Corporation was having a fundraiser, ESPN being one of the greatest media outlets in the United States. I'm grateful for sports programming. They were raising money through the auctioning of sports memorabilia for the V Foundation, which you might or might not be aware of. It's named for Jim Valvano, who was in 1983 the basketball coach of the University of North Carolina Wolfpack and the very unlikely NCAA basketball champions that year. And Jim Valvano was a character that that we all met for the first time, and every time we met him through the media since, gave us a smile. Just one of these characters of Italian heritage and intensity that that we come to appreciate. 10 years later, Jim Valvano was given by the ESPN Corporation the first annual Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award, and he gave an acceptance speech on March 4th, 1993, excerpts of which have been all over the news this week. At the time of that speech, Jim Valvano was 46 years old and would live only another 6 weeks. And he knew it, and everybody else did. He'd been diagnosed with an incurable and horrible cancer about a year prior. This just 10 years after he hit the national consciousness with the unlikely win in the NCAA championships. And what I have here are a couple of excerpts from his acceptance speech just 6 weeks ahead of his death, reflecting on what it meant to be given this award and to have had the chance to do what he had done. He said this. He said, "When people say to me, how do you get through life or each day, it's the same thing. To me, there are three things we should all do every day. We should do this every day of our lives. Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. Number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy, but think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. I urge all of you, to enjoy your life. The precious moments you have, to spend each day with some laughter and some thought to get your emotions going. To be enthusiastic every day, and as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great could be accomplished without enthusiasm. To keep your dreams alive in spite of problems, whatever you have. The ability to be able to work hard for your dreams to come true, to become a reality. I got one last thing, and I said it before, and I want to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever." I've put on the church website a link to the V Foundation's webpage, and if you want a transcript of the whole speech, you can get that for free. And if you send them a little money, they'll send you a video, and it's worth watching. Jim Valvano's speech was electrifying just 6 weeks ahead of his death that he knew was coming. All of us, most of us I should say, most of us in this room have lived more days than we have left to live. It's kind of a harsh reality, half time's over for most of us. But it does raise the level of urgency and opportunity to cherish what is, to hold your grandchild close as Jenny is at this moment, and cherish the warmth of that, and thank God for the blessing of just this day that the Lord has made. And come what may, rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And may the peace of God that gives us each day keep us strong in the light of His love. Amen.